We're going to give you a little bit of word because the Lord has prepared something for you as you prepare to walk into 25. It's something that He needs you to hear. And after we do this, of course, we're going to extend an invitation, but we're going to have an altar call. And we're going to all come down front. And we're going to do this old school. In the old church, when I was a little boy and we used to go to watch night services, we were praying when the clock struck midnight. We weren't doing a countdown. We weren't looking around. We weren't doing anything else. We were on our knees praying. Now, if you don't think you can get back up after you get down there, we got two or three brothers that can help you. Or we can leave you there to Sunday. It might help. I don't know. But so I want us to look at this scripture. We're going to be looking in the book of Acts. Real quick here. But Acts the 16th chapter, verses 22 through 26. If you don't mind, just please stand for the reading of God's word. Acts the 16th chapter, verses 22 through 26. And it reads, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose." For a little while tonight, we're going to talk about around midnight. Now, the scripture references Paul and Silas in a situation where they were in need of a change to free themselves from the bondage of the enemy. And tonight, as we wait to welcome in this new year, to celebrate a new change, to celebrate the marking of our ancestors as they waited for the stroke of midnight in 1863. Some of us, I teased you all week about, all the few Sundays, about learning the difference between a watch night service and a New Year's Eve service. A New Year's Eve service is when you come together any time of the day or night on the New Year's Eve and you celebrate and thank God for the year. But the watch night service is an African-American tradition, because in 1862, Abraham Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, which was an executive order. And in that proclamation, it said that on January 1st of 1863, the slaves in several Confederate states, we get it confused, we think it was all of them, it wasn't all of them, in several Confederate states would be set free. And so the African Americans gathered around the country in churches on January 31st, 1862, waiting for the strike of midnight. Guess what they were doing? They were singing and praying, just like Paul and Silas were singing and praying. And they were praying for a change, just like Paul and Silas were praying for a change. Paul and Silas needed to break out of prison. Our ancestors needed to break out of slavery. And there's some of us in here tonight. We came because we wanted to come with our friends. Or became because somebody encouraged us. We didn't come looking for anything. We didn't come expecting anything. Yeah. But can I tell you something? We're close. So I dare you to just turn it over and give it to the Lord. Because around midnight, something's going to happen. Some chains are going to get broken. Some things are going to come loose. Something is going to happen. Whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever it is that has you in prison, if it's in your mind, if it's in your body, whatever it is that has you weighing you down and holding you back, God has said that around midnight, something's going to happen. Now, who were Paul and Silas? Well, Paul was an apostle, we know that, but Silas was a prophet. And Paul and Silas were traveling together. Actually, when this all took place, Timothy had joined them, but Timothy's nowhere in this story, so we don't know what happened to Timothy right about now. But Paul and Silas were doing the will and the work of the Lord, and these were dangerous times for them. You know why it was dangerous? It was dangerous because Paul and Silas were Jews. And the people didn't like them because they were Jews. They were Jews in a Roman territory. Now, Paul was born a Roman, but he was also a Jew by his birth. But they didn't like them because they were different. Does that sound familiar? People don't like you just because you're different. So Paul and Silas had to deal with this thing. And there they were. They were walking around. They were telling the whole world the good news about Jesus and how he could save. And they were doing miracles. Then there was a woman. And the Bible says she had the spirit of divination, which means that she had a gift to where she could tell the future. She was walking around following Paul and Silas, and she was saying, these men are men of God. These men are the men of Jesus, and they're doing miracles in this town. And Paul and Silas didn't want her saying that because they knew they were in danger. And she kept following them, kept following and kept following. And finally, Paul had enough. And he turned around and he prayed and called the spirit out of the woman. And when he called the spirit out of the woman, she could no longer do what she had been doing. Now get this, the woman really didn't have a problem with that. But the people who she was working for had a problem. They had a problem because Paul and Silas had just messed with their money. And so, and since Paul and Silas had just messed with their money, they went and had them put in jail. Now, it wasn't enough that they had them put in jail. They went to the magistrate, they went to the judge, and they told the judge, this man is disrupting our way of living. This man is going against the rules of Rome. This man is doing things that he should not be doing. And so the judge said, we're going to strip them naked and then beat them with rods. And after they stripped them naked and beat them with rods, then they threw them in the jail. They didn't just put them in jail. The judge didn't want them to escape. So not only were they put in chains, but they were put in a cell that was inside of a cell. Now, sometimes just because we're doing what God would have us to do, somebody doesn't like us and they can have us arrested. Yeah. We may not get locked up in a jail cell, but sometimes when we get arrested, our spirit gets arrested. And we can't seem to get a breakthrough. We can't seem to hear God. We can't seem to communicate with God because somebody has stepped in and done something to us and it threw us off our game. Paul and Silas sat in the jail cell. And while they sat in the jail cell, they knew they needed a change. So they were singing songs and praying. Now, they weren't having a little Bible study off by themselves, cower down in the corner. No, they were singing out loud and praying out loud. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the scripture says the prisoners and the guard were listening to them. It's just something about when you're praying to God and there are people around you that don't know God. They get intrigued by your prayer and your conversation because they don't understand. They don't know what you know. They don't understand how God can work.
Yeah.
Just at the request of his people.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, not only can God work at the request of his people, but as they were praying, God showed up. And if anybody knows anything about God showing up when you're in the middle of something, God doesn't just show up peacefully and slide into the room. He makes an entrance. Yes. And when God came into the prison, he made an entrance. The Bible said there was a mighty earthquake, and the earthquake shook the jail. It rocked the jail cell. It shook the jail until the doors fell off the hinges. It shook the jail until their stocks fell off their wrists. Came off their feet. And Paul and Silas and all the other jail inmates were free. The guard got nervous because the guard said, if they are free, I'm going to get killed. The guard was looking for light. He was like, somebody, please put some light on. I need to know where these people are. Are they gone? Are they gone? And Paul and Silas said, calm down, bro. We're still here. You know why? They had no reason to leave. Because they knew God wasn't finished. When God comes into a room and he shakes some things up, he's not finished just with shaking things up. He set free his people. He set free some of the prisoners. But he was going to set the guard free. So Paul and Silas didn't move. They stayed right there. And the prison guard said, you're still here? And he said, yes. And the prison guard couldn't understand why they didn't make a run for it. But more than what he saw, it was what he felt. Because the Spirit of God had permeated the prison. It had permeated the prison to the point that it had shaken things loose. It had knocked some things down that they didn't even know was holding them. It had broken some chains that were binding them for years. It had separated them from the sin that they knew in their past. It had brought them to a brand new light and a brand new place in their life. So much so that the prison guard came to Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Sometimes we run around and we want to get away from the people who've done wrong to us. But can I tell you, when God comes in and he straightens out your situation, he's not looking for you to run. He might just want to save the person that's been giving you all the hell in your life.
Yeah.
But unlike Paul, we don't like that. We don't want God to save our enemies. We want to be a little bit more like David. Remember how David prayed? God, kill my enemies. That's how we want to pray. But God had something else in store. God said no. And so when the guard asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul simply told him, believe in Jesus. But he also said, not only will you be saved, but you and your family will be saved. The saving grace of God does not just stop with you, but when God comes in your life and does a change in your life and does something different in your life, and you go back and you live out what God has done for you, you can affect your entire family. Paul told him, God will save you and bless your entire household. And some of us are running around here so caught up in our own sin. We're so worried about people finding out who we really are that we deflect when God comes and tries to save us, because then that will have to mean that we have to admit to who we are and what we've done. And we think that we're putting on a facade that can disguise us from the church folk, because the church folk are so naive, they don't know. Let me tell you something. Church folk come from street folk. Before we came in the church, we were in the street. And all that stuff you think you fooling somebody with, you ain't fooling nobody, because church folk are some wise folk. They saw you before you opened your mouth. They saw you coming. You came down the aisle and they said, Not because they're better than you, but because they recognized themselves in you. We recognize ourselves in other people. We may not be there anymore, but we were there. And some of us are only two steps away from there. Now, we put on a good holy face, but you dare not push us past an hour and a half in church. That holy face starts to crack. And before you know it, the real you comes out. Now you scared everybody. I want to go through this, but I want to make sure that we are praying at at midnight. But more than just that, more than just that. This guard wanted to know what he had to do to be saved. And when Paul and Silas told him about the changing of his situation, he agreed. And not only did he agree, but he got saved. He got saved right then and right there because that's who God is and that's what God does. Anytime we come into the church, too many times if we don't know the word of God, we listen to the people in the church because we think that the folks in the church are all good and they wouldn't tell us anything wrong. You come in the church and you still got the residual of the sin still fresh on you. And you think that because somebody at the church told you had to do these 15 things in order to be saved, now you're trying to do them. Let me tell you something. Free your mind. Free your mind. The only thing you have to do to be saved is believe in Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, that's the step. They said, oh, there are multiple steps to being saved. No, according to the Bible, that's the step. Believe in Jesus Christ. Paul added in Romans, confess and believe. But John said, believe and you shall be saved. What are we waiting for? What are we holding on to? Why are we trying to tell somebody something other than what the Bible says? Because we want to see if they truly do believe. But can I help you? God didn't ask us what we wanted to see. God does what God does because he's God. Yeah. He didn't ask for our opinion or our input. Yeah. So now, let me just go back to this timeline for a minute. Paul and Silas was locked in the prison cell, and they were surrounded by guards and the prisoners. And despite their circumstances, they were singing and praying to God, and God was there. And he came in around midnight, and he set the people free. Now, the Emancipation Proclamation did not take effect until the stroke of midnight in 1863, but I believe that God was there. There were black folks in churches all over the country, and they were praying and singing, and around midnight, they were waiting for something to happen. They were waiting for chains to break. They were waiting for the stroke of midnight for something good to happen to them, and at midnight, they became free. There's somebody in this room tonight and you're waiting. You're waiting for something to happen. You didn't even know that God was going to do some things for you. You've heard some things tonight. You've sung a song tonight. You felt the spirit tonight. You felt an anointing coming all around you and you don't understand what's going on. But can I tell you, now is the time and this is the place. It's about time to start working on your change because God is ready to do something different in your life. He does not want you walking into 25 dragging the same stuff behind you that you've been carrying for the last 30 years. God wants you to know that you are free. You are free. And when you are free, in Jesus, you are free indeed.
Yes.
We want to keep holding on to stuff. We want to keep looking back at our past. We want to keep, God, would you just forgive me? You're still asking for forgiveness for things that God has already forgiven you for.
Yeah.
When you ask for forgiveness the first time he forgave you, you're still praying about stuff that you did in 1990. God forgave you of that then, but you keep carrying it around like you think it's designer luggage. I got news for you. God is not impressed with your designer luggage. He said, I set you free. I set you free.
Yeah.
And I want you to know tonight that you are free. You are free. You are free in Jesus. You are free. Yeah. If you confess the Lord and you tell God, I believe in you, that's all he requires. He will do everything else. There's nothing else you can do. Well, you know, if I just stop doing this, then God will bless me. No, sir. No, ma'am. Whatever God needs you to stop doing, he'll stop it. Because every time you try, you go back to it. But when God stops it, it's done. Let us pray. It's midnight. Father, we just thank you right now. I want you to come down front if you don't mind. It's okay this time if you walk while we're praying. But I want you to come down front because I want you to have a communal spirit. Father, we're thanking you right now for your blessings, God, because we know that you've already blessed us. God, we know that you've already set us free. God, we know that you've already anointed our bodies. God, we know that you have already broken the chains that are trying to hold us down. God, the sin that we've been struggling with for 20 years, God, now we understand that we're free from that sin. It's no longer a part of us, God. You are taking it away a little bit at a time. Help us to realize that the things we used to do, we don't have to stop doing them. You will stop us from doing it. God, help us to understand understand that it's you and you alone. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the light. You are the only one who can save us. And you, if once we believe in you, God, we know that your word says that we're saved. We accept that. We accept your word tonight. God, we're no longer going to try and save ourselves. We come to the realization that we can't do that. And because we can't do it, we've got to lean and depend on you. So God, I know right now, God, in the name of Jesus, you are breaking chains, God. You are breaking chains. You are loosing the things that have bound us, God. You are holding on to those things that were holding us back. You are pulling us away from the things that you want us delivered from. God, you are setting us free right now, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. You're moving in this church right now, God. You're anointing these people, God. You're filling their spirits right now, God. And we just thank you. God, we thank you for what we had in 24, but we thank you for what we have to look forward to in 25. God, we thank you for the breaking of chains. God, we thank you for the newness of life. God, we thank you for new mercies every day. God, we thank you. We praise you, God. We magnify you for the goodness that you are. God, we just thank you. We 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 thank you. Give him thanks. We thank you. Give him praise. We thank you. 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 You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, God. We thank you, God. We praise you, God. We magnify you, God. Cover us, Father, throughout 25. Walk with us, God, and help us to never walk in front of you, but always beside you. Father, walk with us. Show us the right way and give us the mind to accept what you allow. Show us what we need, God, and help us to receive it. Lord, let us walk in your glory. Let us walk in your wisdom. Let us walk in your grace. Fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit. Make us somebody new. Change who we were into who you want us to be. Fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit. Use us, God, for your glory. Use this church, God, for your glory. Use the ministry here, God, for your glory. Use each person in here, God, for your glory. Fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, God. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.